¡Órale! ¡Sí, señor! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. It's a duo today with my primo Ricky Torres. ¿Cómo estamos, bebé?
What up?
Todo bien. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin. Everybody, gracias for joining us. Como siempre, estamos aquí a sus órdenes. We hope you're checking out our website, familiaffp.com, as well as our Twitter at familiaffp and our Familia FFP Facebook page. Well, Primo Ricky, it's funny, here we are. A lot of teams have played eight games. Pretty much everybody has played eight games so far. So going into week 10, and some teams have played nine, and we're starting to see, you know, now at the halfway point, we're starting to see that MVP talk happening. And it's so funny. This is, you start seeing some of the names out there, and it's kind of like, you know, it's like the Miss Universe pageant. You just, how do you pick this one from that one, from that one, from that one? I mean, it's just some of these guys.
It's a lot of the same names too. You're talking like Mahomes, Wilson, finally Rodgers gets back into the talk. But I just want to point out, I mean, Tom Brady's got 20 touchdowns, so he's only 4 or 5 away from Mahomes, and he's only 400 or 500 yards away from passing Mahomes. So I think, obviously, this is way premature, but I think quarterbacks, they're not a dime a dozen, but I have more respect for the other positions than I do the quarterbacks when I think MVP.
Well, it's, the interesting thing, I mean,
they're just making it look easy too much if all quarterbacks are doing it.
And that's the thing. It's like the degrees of difficulty. I mean, it used to be back when I was a boy, it was the running back whoever was the top running back would kind of steal the, it would kind of steal the MVP award. And, you know, occasionally would be the quarterback, you know, it'd be a Roger Staubach or somebody like that, or a Terry Bradshaw. But then like the 80s hit, and it was just like, Dan Marino came in and he won the MVP over Eric Dickerson when both of them set records in the same season. Dan Marino threw for 5,000 yards and Dickerson got his legendary 2,105 yards. And pretty much ever since then, it's been primarily quarterbacks that have won the award.
You think Dickerson should have gotten it?
No, I don't think
Knowing now that his record is still unbroken, right?
Yeah, but I'm very much a traditionalist in how is your team doing, and Dickerson's team was good, but Marino's team was 14-2, and I kind of feel
why not just restrict MVP to the playoff teams then?
The playoff teams, it could be. I mean, it's
unfair to Christian McCaffrey because he's amazing and he deserves it.
Christian McCaffrey, and there are a couple players that we're going to talk about who are very much in this mix. I mean, yeah, you look at McCaffrey's year last year. How did he not get, how did he not get any votes? I mean, it's the NFL does it completely differently from MLB, where MLB kind of like that you get a first place vote, second place vote, all the way to 10th place. Where NFL, you just get like, okay, one vote. You know, there's one vote, and that's it. And you get you get McCaffrey, and McCaffrey just gets shut out because Lamar Jackson had himself a legendary season. But do we? You look at these guys. There's Rodgers. There's Wilson. There's Mahomes. Kyler Murray is having himself just, you know, he's on pace for 4,200 yards. I'm sorry, I didn't put him on our notes, but he's on pace for 4,200 yards and 32 touchdowns and over 1,000 yards rushing and 16 touchdowns. So it's like, I mean, that would actually surpass, from a fantasy standpoint, it would surpass what Lamar Jackson did last year, which is utterly amazing.
He has 543 rushing yards. He has double any other quarterback, so he deserves to be in the talk. Actually, I don't think he's got where's Lamar? Lamar's got 469. But Lamar's way down the talk as far as MVP this year, because he's like outside the top 20 as far as points made.
Oh, totally. Totally. I mean, I think he's going to have himself a nice little finish to the season, but yeah, he's nowhere near what he was doing last year. And, you know, a lot of people were saying he was going to come back down to earth. I still drafted him on one of my leagues just because of the fact that I think he's going to be spectacular down this stretch because, you know, other than Pittsburgh, he does not face an elite defense from here on out.
Yeah. We'll see
what
happens.
But on these guys who, I mean, there's, you know, let's look at these guys. Rodgers has basically re-elevated his game to where he was. I mean, he's on a pace for 48 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Russell Wilson is on pace to break Peyton Manning's 55 touchdown pace. He's going to by one. So he's on pace for 56 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes on pace again for over 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. I mean, wow. I mean, you look at this and, you know, we just talked about Kyler Murray, where he's, what he's doing. It's just, you know, you look at this, the funny thing that I think about this is Patrick Mahomes almost has entered that realm where people are like taking like the media, is almost taking his greatness for granted, where it's like, oh, okay, he already got his MVP. Let's give it to somebody else.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's done it before. I think obviously Jackson's not going to do it. I don't know who's going to get it this year. I don't know what they're going to judge everything on because you got a lot of amazing players all around.
Yeah.
Looking at Cook, at Kamara. I mean, those two players I think are very underappreciated when thinking about MVP. For example, Dalvin Cook in non-PPR has got 200 points, pretty much 858 yards. He's on pace for 1700 yards. His only knock is he doesn't receive that much. He's got 16 receptions for 173 yards.
Right.
And when you put that compared to Kamara with 60 receptions and 565 yards, you put that on top of his 471 yards, dude's already past 1,000 yards total. So I love Kamara. I think there's nothing but everything going up for him. Dalvin Cook's got a little bit of a rough ending. So I think Kamara should get the MVP at the end of the end of the day.
You know, Mike Lombardi from The Athletic agrees with you. He thinks that Kamara is having such a spectacular season and how he has basically carried this team. And you know, the interesting part, they are number one. They're in first place. If the playoffs started today, they would be the number one seed in the NFC. So, and it's largely because of Kamara, because he's been a one man show. Breeze has been Breeze, but they've had Michael Thomas for what, one full game plus part of another one.
Yeah. He's not showing any promise. So it's all been Kamara.
Yeah. I think what it's going to come down to is I honestly think it's going to be the quarterbacks and who is the player whose team has the best record. I think let's say KC, they run the table the rest of the way, they finish 15-1 and Patrick Mahomes has another 50 TD season, it's going to be hard not to give it to him, unless Russell Wilson breaks Peyton Manning's record.
Well, let's see what Kyler Murray and Josh Allen do with their second half, because they've already surprised us the first half. Let's see if they have a few more tricks.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen has had some, you know, before last week he had a couple of, you know, blah games. Kyler Murray, he has really just not had a bad game. I mean, they lost last week. He was incredible. And I don't know if you saw the post-game interviews. He looked like, you know, he looked like his dog just died. He was distraught. And to me, that says something. That means he cares about winning. And that I want that guy on my team. I want that guy leading my team. He's what, like 22, 23 years old, and he's doing that? Special, special, special. I mean, it's like I said, this is going to be a beauty contest. And how do you pick? I don't know how you pick, but it's going to be fun watching these guys. And let's see if somebody, you know, somebody can sneak into this. Like you mentioned, Tom Brady, if he runs the table and he has himself a great, great run, I mean, all of a sudden it's going to be him. He's the brand name that everybody seems to like.
Exactly. The beauty queen.
All right, Primo. Hey, let's do our Thursday night football recap.
All right.
Bueno, familia. It was Philip Rivers channeling his inner Drew Brees on Thursday night as he used the short pass masterfully to throw for 308 yards and a TD in the Colts' 34-17 drubbing of the Titans in Tennessee. So that's just a dome team traveling to not really a little bit of weather. It was pretty temperate tonight, but again, Philip Rivers just kept throwing, peppering just the short throws. One of his main targets all night was Nyheim Hines, basically in the Alvin Kamara role. He did rush 12 times for 70 yards and a touchdown and added another 45 yards receiving and a second TD. The rest of the running backs in Indianapolis, it was kind of a muddled mess. Jordan Wilkins carried the ball 8 times for 28 yards, and Jonathan Taylor was the biggest disappointment of the night, rushing 7 times for 12 yards and adding a 25 yards through the air. I mean, just another letdown was that Jacoby Brissett vultured a TD on a quarterback sneak. Gotta love that. Ay, Dios mío. Michael Pittman had his second good game in a row since returning from injury, catching 7 of 8 targets for 101 yards. T.Y. Hilton was pretty much an afterthought again in this one, with 4 catches for 40 yards. On the Titans side, Ryan Tannehill had his second straight rough game, battling pressure all night to finish with 147 yards and a TD. A.J. Brown was very quiet, catching 1 of 4 targets for 21 yards. He did bobble and drop a pass down the sideline where he had 2 steps on the defender and would have been gone to the house if he'd held on to the ball. But you could tell I got him on a couple of teams. Derrick Henry ran for 103 yards against an Indy defense that really showed up well again. I mean, that's a tough run defense, but they're tough against the run and the pass. Definitely a defense that you want to have on your roster. And the last touchdown for the Titans was a Jonnu Smith jet sweep from 1 yard out to score a TD. That's it for Thursday Night Football.
Well, let's get into some chisme.
Chisme!
So Nick Chubb, he's practicing again, Primo. 2 days in a row. He practiced. Today's, we're recording this on Thursday afternoon. He's now logged 2 practices this week. They said they're going to talk about it on Friday about him starting. I think he's looking like a starter this week.
I think he's definitely going to start. If not start, he's definitely going to play 50% of the game, if not more. But he's already practicing. He's been practicing a lot, so I think it's safe to put him in. Not Kamara Hunt. Kareem Hunt has just not been doing it, so they're going to be super excited to put Chubb back in, and they can ease him in because as soon as it's 50% Chubb, 50% Hunt, they're still going to look good. So it'll be a nice little thing for them to get back.
And it's a very forgiving defense with the Texans.
I think the next guy you're going to talk about is a little bit more concerning.
Ooh, talk to us.
Joe Mixon not practicing again. I still think Gio Bernard's crap. I would stray away from that running game. They seem to just want to pass and use their shiny weapon in Burrow. But, gosh, I mean, I've been telling people not to go for Mixon all year. This is part of the reason why, but, I mean, he's just not going to be productive for you. Sucks. And if you have Gio, it's like, it's not much of a handcuff. So good luck to all those who own that part of the league.
I agree. This week, it's going to be a tough one. We're going to talk about this game. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense is just spectacular.
There's no point to putting Gio in this weekend.
No, you're not starting him. I have him in a league where I've held him through the bye, and I can't see myself playing him this week, even, no matter how well he played the previous 2 weeks, because Pittsburgh's defense is just that good. Yo no sé. I'm staying away. No me lo digas.
Good idea.
So Lamar Jackson, interesting, said on the Rich Eisen show that opposing defenses are calling out our plays. How amazing is that? I mean, we knew that people were going to really be focusing on their offense at this point, but you know, Lamar Jackson, all of a sudden he's just like, he hears everybody. He hears, it's like, is he telegraphing their plays, or are they just going straight off of the formation?
Are they not being tricky enough? Does Lamar Jackson just not have the confidence and he thinks they're calling out their plays? Who knows? Lamar Jackson needs to calm down, get back to get his swag back. He's worrying too much about everything.
And he is. And it's, I think one of the things, I think he's got to maybe take an audible out, or maybe, you know, just use those spectacular legs a little bit more when it's, if it's not, if maybe it's a run play, maybe tuck it and just go the other way and do something spectacular, which he does two or three times a game. And I think this is going to be the time of the year that he's really going to start rolling a little bit more against the easier defenses. I mean, when you look at New England, we're going to talk about that game a little bit later, but he's it's a good matchup for him. Hopefully
this is where he'll get his groove back.
Miles Sanders, he's looking like he's trending toward playing this week.
I'm not playing him in anything. So you talk about him, because I think it's just a garbage idea. I don't know. He's like middle of the pile. So he's someone who I'm going to stray away from for all year.
And DFS, even in – I'm trying
in
to think.
DFS, I mean, he's got a bad knee. Who knows if it's – like, I just don't trust the guy. I don't trust that team. So – like, we have no idea what direction they're heading, so I don't want any part of it, unfortunately. We've been saying it all year, and now that he's back, I just don't want to make a big deal about it.
Well, the Giants aren't that great, but I don't know if I'm throwing them in right away, you know, first game out. You know, I don't know about that, but I was a fan of his last year. I would definitely look to play him against definitely against the Cowboys. I think they've got a couple of matchups against them coming up, but I could see
one left.
Okay. And I could see this one being kind of a little bit tight, because the Giants have been surprisingly good. They're kind of middle of the pack against the running back position, but you know, I think they'll ease him back in, maybe do, you know, work in a little Boston Scott and see what he does. I mean, he's really, I think for them to really excel and where they were at their best last year, a lot of the offense needs to go through Miles Sanders, but who knows if he's going to,
they need him, but I mean, they still got Boston Scott that I'm sure they're going to use. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know how efficient they are. And when you're not an efficient team, the running game is just going to make it worse, because then you have to go in the air, and I don't know. We'll see what happens.
And we got David Johnson still in the concussion protocol. He hasn't practiced this week. I don't think
he's going to play.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's going to be Duke Johnson this week in that lineup in his revenge game, La Venganza. And
that'll be a nice little maybe DFS, because Duke Johnson might be really cheap.
Yep.
And revenge games are supposed to be sweet, but so far this year they haven't been. Le'Veon Bell was garbage against the Jets.
I honestly think they're. I actually laugh whenever I say revenge game, because I really don't believe in it.
Sometimes they work.
Sometimes they work, and sometimes it's just because you're good. you're good, and it's a good matchup. I mean, Le'Veon Bell had every reason to be good against the Jets, and the Chiefs just decided
they let him do it on fourth and one, and he failed. I'm like, you're a loser.
You know, a lot of people are dropping him. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
I've seen him get dropped on multiple leagues. I think he got dropped in our Familia league.
Really? So
yeah, I'm pretty sure he got dropped in our Familia league.
No one needs him.
I don't see what's the use. I mean, maybe a deeper league of 14 teams and up. You keep them, but God, it's how far they have fallen.
Yeah.
How far they have fallen. Over on the Ravens, they reported an undisclosed player has tested positive for COVID-19. So apparently the player's already been sequestered and self-quarantined. And so it doesn't look like there's any issues. And, you know, apparently there are no high-risk close contacts. So
do they even have an inkling or an itch of who it might be?
No, nobody's reported it yet, who the player is who's gone on the COVID IR. So we'll probably find out tomorrow. So everybody keep an eye on.
I hope it's not Hollywood.
God, I hope so too. Hope it's not Hollywood. Hope it's not Lamar.
We'll see.
Really hope it's not Lamar. Gosh, they're not, they're totally not as fun if he's not in there.
Yeah, I agree.
And last one, Primo, tell us about your man, CMC, run CMC.
Well, they say he has a realistic chance, unfortunately, though, to return week 11, not this week. But then again, it's going to be at the Lions, so I expect to see CMC doing CMC things. But it's the results of his second opinion, so I don't know how I feel about second opinions. Usually the first one's good, guys. The second one's just to please the patient. But they say he's going to miss this week's matchup against the Bucks. Good. They're going to be a tough team anyways and probably would have made his shoulder a lot worse. And they got a bye week in 13. So you figure, all right, he'll play two games, then have a bye week. But hopefully that doesn't impact the way the organization wants to deal with the shoulder injury. You don't want them to be like, all right, let's slow him down again. We'll keep him till after the bye. Mike Davis, they were confident in the whole time. But it's like, come on, guys, I need him for my fantasy football team. So I've waited long enough.
Oh, you just
want... Even though the teams I have him on, I'm going to make the playoffs. It's like, I miss him. I miss having him.
Well, the NFL misses having him. I mean, we saw it last week. I mean, you kicked my butt, but it's just better. Everything is just better when he's in there. You just... Oh. All right. Well, let's get back into the previews. The Sunday previews. We're going to now yesterday we did all the Thursday night football and the morning games. Today we're going to start off with the 1 p.m. games. And I think there's going to be a fun little game in Vegas. Denver Broncos 3-5 at the Raiders 5-3. Vegas is a five. I'm still getting used to that. They're 5-point favorites and it's a 50.5 over under. Honestly, you know what? I think the thing to hammer on this game, I think it's going to be the over. I really think that this game, there's going to be a shootout between the two teams.
Not like a low shootout, like 21-24.
No, I see this being like, you know, 31-28 or something like that. It's you know, neither team is particularly good against the passing game. You got Denver, one thing that I did a little research on, I looked and there's kind of like a home road split with Derek Carr, where he's really good at home. He's been good once on the road, and that was in Kansas City when they shocked the Chiefs. But other than that, he's been kind of blah on the road. I mean, last week in what looked like a great matchup against the Chargers, he only threw for 165 yards, but he's been over 300 yards several times when he's been at home. And I think this is going to be a sneaky play for him because the Broncos are good against the run. So it's going to be tough sledding for Josh Jacobs, but I think this is going to be this is going to be a game where the wide receivers. I think Nelson Agholor has been getting loose deep. I think Henry Ruggs will break through and get one. And you know, Denver's pretty good against the tight end, but I don't think they've seen, you know, other than Travis Kelce, they're not seeing anybody better than Darren Waller. And on the other side, Drew Lock's been, hasn't been Drew Lock been so good the last couple of weeks for fantasy?
I mean, I don't know who to pick between Lindsay and Gordon.
Yeah,
That one's just like, don't pick either of them, even though Vegas sucks against the running back, 29th in defense. I think it's good. Like you said, if it's going to be a shootout, just go with the wide receivers. Judy's been looking really good. Even Patrick. Like, even though he only got 29 yards, the catches he was making, the runs after were amazing. So the guy's got heart. I don't like people who are high on Noah Fant. I don't like Noah Fant. He hasn't done anything yet. So I doubt he's good. That's the only position Vegas can defend against. So don't put in Fant this week. Talking to my buddy who keeps bragging about Fant. I don't know why. But on the Vegas side, I mean, obviously, Waller's a hit. You want to put him in. Josh Jacobs is going to have an okay game. Denver's good against the run. But like you said, Derek Carr can be – he had a dunker last week. Hopefully this week he can improve. And but their wide receivers, it's like, who does he throw to? Aguilar? He's only got Waller. So I would think the Waller Derek Carr connection this week is going to be hot.
I still think Ruggs is going to get loose for a long one.
He's due.
I'm pretty close to playing him on one of my teams that's got four flexes. So, you know, with as my last flex. So, pretty deep team there. Yeah. Well, take us to Miami.
My lovely Chargers, 2-6. They should be like 4-2 or 4-4 at least. They're in Miami, where they're every time a West Coast team goes east, it sucks for them. But it's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Miami's got they're favored by 2.5. Over-under is 48.5. I think that's way low. I think this is definitely going to be a fun game to watch. Hopefully we see a Tua Herbert show, because you got two of the best rookies in the game going head-to-head. Joshua Kelly's going to probably lead the backfield, because why not? When you're 2-6 and you're the Chargers, just have fun. Let the rookies go play. This is going to be a rookie game. Preston Williams is going to be on the IR, so Devontae Parker is pretty much going to be the only guy Tua is going to be able to throw to besides your boy Gesicki. And they're not going to have Gaskin, so they're reliant on Howard. I think the Chargers are going to win. I don't know why everyone else is so high on Miami. Take the Chargers. Joshua Kelly is still going to be effective. The whole running game is still going to be effective. And then you got Keenan Allen, who's just getting targeted, and he's efficient too. 9 for 11 is amazing, and he gets touchdowns. Mike Williams does amazing catches. He helps take a lot of pressure off Keenan Allen. And Hunter Henry's just been they've just been flowing really well. It's just at the end of the game, something's happening. I can't put my finger on it, but this is going to be a Charger game. Expect Miami to keep trying to catch up. And because of the bad Chargers secondary, Tua is going to be able to do that. But in the end, I think the Chargers win by 3 or more.
You look at what do you think of the backfield?
For the who? Oh, Chargers. For the Chargers, I think you got to go Kelly simply because he's the rookie, and I think it's a rookie game. Other than that, it's like there's no one that I trust. No one on that backfield I trust as far as, you know, DFS. It's Eckler's game when he comes back.
You know, one thing that I look at is I was looking at Keenan Allen. He's got one of the best wide receiver cornerback matchups this week. So I think it's going to be a big game for him. The thing on the Miami side, and you're going to give me a hard time, but I do think Gesicki's going to, his targets are going to go up because of the fact that Preston Williams was playing a lot in the slot. I think Gesicki's going to get some of those throws over the middle. And, but you know, I know both Hector and Nico picked Miami to win this game. But you know what I think is going to help a little bit to the Chargers? And I noticed this in the Ram game. Now, the Ram game was a 1 o'clock game local time. So, and I remember at one point they showed the temperature on the sideline on each side. So the Dolphins, their sideline for a 1 o'clock game is in the shade. And it was like 80 degrees and looked normal. The Rams side, it was in the sun and it was like pushing 140 degrees on the sideline. So I think that was a big part in why the Rams kind of melted down on this one. This game's going to be at 4 o'clock local time. So I don't think that the extreme sun is going to be playing a big part. So I think this is going to be a little bit more of an even game. I think this is going to be one of the funnest games of the weekend. It's going to be hard because it's going to be hard to watch this game plus the next game that's happening because the Rams at 5-3 hosting the Seattle Seahawks at 6-2 and
surprising 5-3 Rams.
Surprising?
I think so.
They could be 6-2 very easily if that last play didn't in Buffalo didn't go the wrong way.
You know, you put yourself in that position, you deserve to lose.
You're right because they were down what, like, you know, 25 points at one point. It was just ugly. But this is a game you fire everybody up. I mean, I've got
for Chris Carson.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, you just don't know who to play in the backfield.
Is it either backfields?
Yeah, I don't think Carson's still not practicing, and we don't know. We don't know if Daryl Henderson is going to be playing. You know, is it Daryl Henderson, Akers, Brown? I think it's I think this is
they
just
don't
gonna be
even
passing
know.
game. Just gonna be the passing game. I found an interesting note. Well, number one, the Seahawks are giving up 362.1 passing yards per game, which is just ridiculous. It's like, it comes out to like, 5,600 yards or close to 5,700 yards on the season, which would break records like crazy. But one of the things that I saw was that Seattle has allowed 977 yards to the slot receiver just in the first eight games of the season. Thank you, Pro Football Focus. Cooper Kupp is this, is going to be operating out of the slot. I made him the start and, my start of the week.
I think Kupp and Goff are definitely going to be the start. Maybe even put Woods in too.
Woods is definitely going to be getting some. And the interesting thing is the Rams have just been kind of like playing Jalen Ramsey a little bit. And they're, one of the top defenses against the quarterback and the receiver. But I don't think they've seen what DK Metcalf has. I think that's this is going to be the greatest test for them.
That's a good thing for DK, because it's going to make basically the game a huge shootout. So I'm going to love it. Everyone's going to be getting points.
It's going to be fun. I'm looking at a stack of Goff and Kupp or Woods in DFS as being an interesting one. I mean, I've already got the stack of Goff and Woods in our Familia League. So I'm very much looking forward to that one. Not feeling so bad about having Big Ben as my other quarterback option. So hopefully Goff does it for us. We'll take us to Arizona.
Well, you're in Arizona, where it's going to be nice and sunny outside, but it doesn't matter because they're in a dome. They're playing the 7-2 Buffalo Bills. It's going to be a fun game because Arizona, they're good. They can beat the Seahawks. So now they get to go against Buffalo. Josh Allen, who last week threw over 400 yards, is going to go against a nice defense in Arizona. They're 15th against the QB, 14th against wide receivers. So we're going to see if Josh Allen's going to want to challenge the pass or run with his legs, because they have horrible running backs too. I feel like we've yet to talk about a dominant running back, because even on the other side, Chase Edmonds or Kenyon Drake, like who's going to be the one to take the backfield? We don't even know that yet. Last week, DeAndre Hopkins had a horrible, horrible game. I traded him in two leagues, so it was nice to see. But he's got to hop back from that, because Buffalo, they have a tough defense against the wide receiver. And if anyone can make any defense look like an idiot, it's DeAndre Hopkins. So I hope he shows up. But this one might just be like a huge shootout too. The over-under is 56.5 points. Both teams might be in the 40s, and that'll be a great thing to see. So I don't know. What do you like about this game besides everything? Because you just got to throw everybody in it, right?
You really do. Even Christian Kirk, I think, he's been playing very well.
You
got to
throw Kirk in, because if Buffalo goes out to a big lead, Kyler Murray's going to throw those deep balls.
Oh, he's going to be exactly. He's going to be, ever since the Dallas game where he kept throwing deep to Christian Kirk and finally connected with him on that 80 yarder. Christian Kirk has steadily been someone who's been very much in that circle of trust for Kyler Murray. And he's been good. And I think John Brown is also going to be a good play, because Patrick Peterson is probably going to look, going to be looking to stick Stephon Diggs and probably take him out of the game, which is going to open things up for John Brown and Cole Beasley a little bit underneath. I think this is going to be, very reminiscent of, Josh Allen is, I think Josh Allen is going to have another big game coming back to back.
Passing or on the ground?
Passing, totally right. Passing. I think Arizona is going to be good. This game is just going to be a track meet. It's going to be fun. Can you imagine? Red zone is just going to go into hyperdrive trying to follow this game, the Rams Seahawks and the Dolphins Chargers. I mean, it's just going to be it's going to be craziness. We may need to go to Vegas and watch it. Watch it on like multiple TVs like that way.
That would be nice.
Oh man, well let's go down. The beautiful thing about this weekend, we don't have a lot of weather that's going to be an issue except for the next game, but we're down in New Orleans. San Francisco 4-5 at the suddenly, top seed in the NFC, New Orleans Saints 6-2. It's the Saints are 9.5 point favorites with a 50.5 over under. You look at the 49ers. They're supposed to, you know, they got Brandon Ayuk back. Deebo Samuel is back from the COVID IR, but he's still battling a hamstring. As of today, he's still not practicing. I don't know how much you trust Nick Mullins, especially after what we saw from New Orleans last week. I mean, how?
Yeah, they stopped Tom Brady, so I feel like San Fran, good luck. This is going to be a practice game. And honestly, if you got Latavius Murray, put him in because he's probably going to play a lot. Because as soon as New Orleans goes up by 21, why have Breeze or Kamara in that much?
I don't know. And the thing I'm going to look at a little bit is Michael Thomas's usage in this game. I think he could be a sneaky. I haven't looked at his price on DraftKings just yet, but I always look for the guy. The high stature guy coming back from an injury in the second game. I remember Devontae Adams last year in his, when he missed those four games and he came back in his first game, he was okay. Not great. He only got like five or six targets. It was the next game that he blew up. And I think that could be the case with Michael Thomas. I mean, he's so, I mean, we have not seen anywhere near that, you know, Michael Thomas at his best. And I think we're going to see that.
We'll see. That's a heck of a science you're using.
The recency bias. But the one thing I am looking for is I'm going to really stay away from the San Francisco running backs.
Oh, yeah.
Because Hasty and McKinnon.
Stay away from the whole team.
Could you see maybe taking a flyer on Jordan Reed? New Orleans is number 26 against the tight end, and they've given up some big games.
You
got to
trust Mullins too. So I say no. No, everybody.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, let's go to Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, we have Cincinnati 2-5 and what one versus the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. It's going to be a rainy game. So the over-under and all the bettings are off. Is it because Ben Roethlisberger was on COVID or what?
Yeah, exactly.
But he's back, isn't he?
No, they're not going to know until Saturday if he's back. So he hasn't been practicing. He's been participating in all of the meetings virtually, and apparently he's like driving the offensive coordinator and the coaches crazy because he's texting them at all hours of the night with ideas and everything like that. So so I think the article that I read today is they're preparing as if he's going to play that, but he's just not practicing.
Well, but Cincinnati's not that great against the quarterbacks or wide receivers or running backs. So expect Connor to basically demolish what he did last week. Last week, he got 22 yards and we won't even talk about the negative yardage he got receiving. Now on the other side, Deontay Johnson, Juju, Chase Claypool, I don't know which one's going to go off. They all did great last week as far as PPR, but you have Deontay not getting a touchdown, Claypool not getting a touchdown, Washington got the touchdown. So it's like this wide receiver area is just so confusing.
Juju got one too.
Juju got one, but it's like, is he going to do that next week? How many balls is Ben going to be able to throw up this game? I think he'll be able to throw maybe three or four touchdowns. I think Connor will be able to take two of them. And I do expect Pittsburgh to blow up in this game.
Even in the rain? You think he's going to get enough pass volume to do something in the rain?
He'll find spot. They're going to be running so much that play actions are going to be wide open.
I can see that. I hope they're going to be running a lot because I got Connor all over the
Joe
place.
Joe Burrow's going to be getting sacked a lot, and he's going to fumble a couple times. Watch.
And that's the one thing that
they're going to have
at.
No running game.
The Steelers. I was looking at this earlier, and I put Burrow as one of my top afuera guys. You got to sit him down because the Steelers are number one in sacks, and they're one of the top teams in sack percentage. And so we know that Cincinnati's offensive line is not very good. I think, yeah, Burrow is going to be running for his life. And so I think that's going to hurt Tyler Boyd. I think that's going to hurt Higgins. I think that's going to hurt Green. I mean, it's, you know, if Pittsburgh wins this game, though, I think it's going to be largely because of the defense. I'm a little bit worried about Ben not practicing this week.
I think Ben doesn't need to. Ben spent a whole year and he comes back and he's still throwing for 300 yards in games. So he's fine.
All right. We'll finish it. Let's finish it out, Primo, on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, all right. Go, we have two, don't we?
Well, no, we have Sunday Night Football and then we got Monday. I listed the Monday Night Football matchup, but we're going to talk about that on Sunday.
All right. Well, we have Baltimore 6-2 at the horrible New England Patriots 3-5. Sunday Night Football, it should be nice. It's also going to be a rain game, so expect Cam Newton to throw the game again. And now they won't get that close, but he'll probably fumble and throw a couple of interceptions. They're going to be playing from behind. So on the New England side, don't pick anybody. Cam Newton's not going to be able to do anything against this great defense because his wide receivers – Ravens are fourth against wide receivers, and New England has no good wide receivers. N'Keal Harry returned to practice, but he's their best option. So we'll see what happens there.
What about Jacobian Myers? Jacobian Myers got me $2.1 million.
He didn't get you that. He got you that in court. He did not get you that in DFS. He ain't gonna get you that ever.
I had that. So, I had to call that out in the waiver wire column about the Jacobian Myers commercials that I kept seeing from the 70s all the way. I think they're still out there.
They're now. Still out there, man. But looking at the running back game, it's like, is it gonna be Burkhead, Damian Harris? Burkhead's probably the only option, but the Ravens are so good against the run.
They're stuck.
New England's going to get slaughtered. Lamar needs to use this as a bounce back game. I don't like any of their running backs, even though that's the best part of their game plan, as far as because that's what New England sucks the worst at, is defending against the run. But I don't know. Maybe this is when J.K. Dobbins breaks out, but Gus Edwards is taking all the goal line work. So it makes that sucky. The only player that you can really look up to is Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews on this team. And if Lamar Jackson's not throwing the ball as much and doesn't have confidence, this team's just not going to be showing a lot of fantasy points. And it sucks because I have Hollywood. I have Mark Andrews. But Lamar Jackson's just, I don't know. He just doesn't have it this year.
But the one thing that I'm remembering is last year when New England was looking unbeatable, and people were actually sitting Lamar Jackson the week that New England's defense was just like, everybody's like, oh, what? Don't play Lamar Jackson. Don't play Lamar Jackson. And then he just blew up. He threw for 163 and a touchdown, but he also ran for 61 and two touchdowns. He was one of the top quarterbacks of the week. I think there's going to be a lot of that in this game. And my call on the running backs that if somebody's going to do something in Baltimore, and I think you touched on it, I think it's going to be J.K. Dobbins. I was looking at the stats a little bit on kind of like the difference between him and Ingram and Edwards. J.K. Dobbins is almost averaging 6 yards per attempt. He's at 5.7. That's over a yard more than either of Ingram or Edwards. So if somebody's going to break off a long run, I think it's going to be him. And New England, like you mentioned it, they are not stopping the run right now. So they're just not a good. I think if anybody, he's going to be the play. In fact, I'm going to be playing him in our Famila League because I got to sit Ezekiel Elliott. On the New England side, Damian Harris has been battling chest and ankle injuries that he suffered in the Monday Night Football game. So he's been limited in practice. I think you got to sit him. if you're on your team, I don't know if Burkhead does anything. Yeah. You sit both of them. I don't look at anybody doing much of anything in this game. I think
Baltimore just needs to use this to catch fire again.
Yep. Yes, they do. Well, this was a very fire episode. We're going to on Sunday night when we do our recap episode, we're going to preview the Monday Night Football game with the Vikings at Chicago Bears. But for now, everybody, eso es todo for our show. And thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and for making our independent podcast available to the Familia, you, the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe. You can leave us a review at Apple. We'd really appreciate that. You can find us pretty much anywhere you could get your podcast. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB. You can find me at JorgeMartin17. Don't forget FamiliaFFB.com for our original content and our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. So gracias, everybody. And remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.